Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9M FY26 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited, hosted by MUFG Intime India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Nair from MUFG Intime India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to the Q3 and 9M FY26 earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. Today, on the call, we have from the management Mr. Hitesh Mehta, Whole-time Director, Mr. Manmohan Sharma, CFO, Mr. Abhishek Parekh, Group Head Finance, Mr. Neeraj Vinayak, Vice President Investor Relations, and Mr. Rohit Wade, General Manager Investor Relations. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Manmohan Sharma for his opening remarks, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mamta. Good afternoon, everyone, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to all participants for joining the earnings conference call of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited for discussing our business performance for Q3 and 9M of FY2026. I hope you all had an opportunity to review our financial results and investor presentations, which have been made available on the stock exchange and are uploaded on the company's website. I would like to commence by showing my sincere gratitude to all our stakeholders for their unwavering trust and support. Your continued confidence in our vision and execution has played an important role in shaping our journey so far. Today on the call, I have along with me the key members of our management team. Starting with our financial results for the quarter, our revenue from operations stood at rupees 851.06 crores, a growth of 136.18% over the same period of last year. EBITDA comes at rupees 158.80 crore, up 120.79% year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 18.66%. PAT reached to rupees 120.19 crore, marking a 124.74% increase against Q3 FY2025. For the 9M of FY2026, we recorded total revenue from operations of rupees 2,229.03 crores, up 98.81% over the same period of last year. EBITDA for the first 9M stood at rupees 434.28 crores, reflecting a growth of 135.29% year-on-year basis, and the PAT comes in at rupees 322.93 crores, up 138.92% year-on-year basis. These results reflect our consistent performance and strong operating leverage for the current financial year. Operationally, our order books remain healthy, providing clear visibility for the upcoming quarters, with an executed order book of 2.92 gigawatt peak. During this 9M of FY2026, we executed 2,230 megawatt peak of EPC projects, reinforcing our execution capability and enabling us to sustain our leadership in India's solar EPC space. Further, our O&M portfolio is also growing and stood at approximately 1,180 megawatt peak as of December 2025. Let me now turn to the broader industry developments that are shaping our operating environment. India's renewable energy transition continues to accelerate, with non-fossil fuel capacity now more than 265 gigawatts, marking a significant milestone toward the national target of 500 gigawatts by 2030. This progress highlights not only the scale of opportunity but also the increasing education and integration requirement across the renewable value chain. As of December 2025, India's cumulative solar capacity stands at over 135 gigawatts with an addition of over 30 gigawatts in current financial year. Out of this, utility scale projects contributing 76% of total installation and balance are contributed by rooftop, open access, hybrid and off-grid systems together. These additions are supported by government initiatives such as PM Surya Ghar Muft Bijli Yojana and PM Kusum Yojana. The sector is undergoing a noticeable transition as renewable energy grows. Large-scale battery storage is becoming essential to keep the grid stable. Storage solutions are now being included in the renewable tenders to ensure reliable peak power supply, which opens new opportunity for us to expand into BESS EPC. Alongside this, our growing solar base and exhibited projects are making the O&M segment a strong growth driver. The rising need for storage and the increasing adoption of hybrid projects will further boost demand for efficient, dependable and technology-led O&M services. With Waaree Renewable Technologies, we are using our integrated expertise and strong execution capabilities to stay ahead in this fast-changing market. With a solid order book, wider presence and supportive policy, we are well placed to capture growth across new and emerging geographies. Looking forward, we believe our edge will rest on three key strengths: operational efficiency, timely delivery, and the ability to provide complete end-to-end solutions. In this evolving environment, we are not just aligned with market needs, but are strongly positioned to grab opportunity in EPC and allied segment. We are excited about the road ahead and remain dedicated to driving sustainable growth in renewable energy while creating lasting value for all our stakeholders. Thank you for your continued support. We may now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deepak Krishnan from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so I just wanted to check for this quarter when we look at the the execution per megawatt and then we look at the revenue, it seems that the realization per megawatt has gone up to about say 1.3 crores or 1.4 crores against run rate of 86-85 crores. So is there a healthy mix of projects where we are also supplying the modules in this particular quarter? If you could quantify of the executed about 610 megawatt, how much of that is related to orders with modules, and of our backlog, what percentage orders will also have module in it, so that we can sort of get a good sense of the rough estimated order book value in tons also.
So you rightly said that our total order includes turnkey order also. During the quarter, there is an execution of the order which includes module also. So this is difficult to give you any number as of now out of this mix, how much is contributed by that supplied module, etc. But our order books for the going forward as well as remains along with the modules. So the present order book is 2.9 gigawatt. That includes some portion of the order which have module as well.
But you can't, okay, sorry, you are giving a particular percentage. Okay, we get that. Maaybe were these modules through Waaree Energies or were these through external procured modules? If you could sort of quantify that as well.
So mostly actually based on the customer requirement and approved list, these modules are from the Waaree only. And based on the customer requirement, if they want a specific other modules also, that can also be included in our turnkey orders.
Sure, sir. And maybe if I just look at your order book, it's gone from about 3.2 gigawatt to, you know, 2.9. This particular quarter, I think the absolute addition has been slightly lower, or you know, because of the one order where we have adjusted for the revised amount. Is that the right way to look at it?
That is also partly included in this. But this order book is like not like every quarter we are getting a good amount of order. Last, in H1, if you've seen, we have got, I think, around 1.8 gigawatt of order. So this base will continue. Whatever we have executed during the 9 months, that amount of order we have already there in our hand. And we are also following up 29 gigawatt of order pipeline, which includes around 5 to 6 gigawatt of tender. And that some of them is with base also. So, and geographically also from the domestic as well as internationally also, we are getting lot of inquiries for the order. So, we think that this order book will remain healthy going forward as well.
Sure, sir. And maybe just wanted to check on your other expenses also. You know, sequentially we have seen revenues go up, but other expenses, you know, go down from 12 crores to 6 crores or 5.6 crores. Anything that we should be sort of aware for, you know, what would have sort of triggered that?
No. Actually, in the last quarter, there were 13 expenses related to CSR activity that were paid and included in the last quarter. So, that is the only exception which is there. Otherwise, our all expenses remain in the range where it we want to be them.
Sure. And maybe just our thought process on, you know, participating for BESS data centers, you know, or essentially getting assets on book, you know, any of the three, if you can sort of quantify from an EPC perspective, what all are we looking to do, you know, just beyond solar?
So we have as of now three revenue stream actually. That is one EPC, then O&M, and then our own IPP generation. These are the three existing revenue stream. Going forward, we are actively looking for the BESS as well, BESS or data center EPC. Wherever there is opportunity, we are actively looking for the BESS. And presently, we are executing one of the BESS order during this year.
If you could quantify any value of the order or any other data points related to that?
No, it's around...
Is the margin profile very different from our business or is it similar?
The margin profile will remain the same, whether it is BESS or solar. We do business whenever it suits our risk reward metric. So that kind of EBITDA we are looking at, that should be there in the BESS order.
Sure, sir. And I think the IPP of 227, we will...
Please join the queue.
Okay, maybe just... Yeah, sure, no worries.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Sahil Seth from Anand Rathi Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. My first question would be, there has been contraction in EBITDA margins and even the realization per megawatt of executed project has come down. Are we seeing any pricing pressures or what are the reasons attributable to that?
No, actually, if you see, for the entire 9 months, there is an improvement in the margin. There is an improvement in on year-end base revenue as well. So we have 98.81% improvement in the revenue. And EBITDA margin as compared my YOY for 9 months, as against 16.48, we have done 19.48. So this is significantly improved over a period of 9 months. And for this particular price, slightly lower than what is of previous quarter. So it is all in line with our budget and estimates.
So in terms of realization, do you expect your per project realization to inch upwards from the current quarter levels?
Yeah, it depends actually how what kind of order we are getting going forward. And it is difficult to comment any specific order what we likely to come in future and what could be the margin profile. But we are always guided that our margin, EBITDA margin should be over and above 15%, close to that.
Okay. And one more thing. So recently there was news that China had revoked the rebate on the export rebate on the modules and solar cells. Would that have any effect on our margins on projects where we are supplying the modules as a part of the project?
No. Whenever there is an inquiry from the customer, whether it is pure EPC order or a turnkey order, whatever the cost which are associated for the execution of the entire project, we calculate the cost and convey back to the customer and with our profit margins. So as and when the order is confirmed and firmed, we immediately book our raw material component which are supplied for the execution of solar power. So we don't see any kind of this kind of situation going forward as well.
Okay. And if I can, what are your views on the 44 gigawatts of projects which are still stranded in the solar space?
So that is again that depend upon the government initiative. I think they should be, we also expect that those should be completed by the government with the government support.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, please.
So I just wanted to understand something on the industry front. I mean, how do you see the supply-demand scenario currently at the solar space? I mean, a lot of capacities are getting built up. So do you see any kind of overcapacity kind of situation in solar? So some kind of comment on this would be very helpful, sir.
Yeah, definitely. Because as you all of us are aware that the 500 gigawatt renewable target by 2030, we have already crossed 266 gigawatt. And the current 9 months also, we have already installed around 30 gigawatt of order. So what we were talking about 2-3 years back, that is this number, that this could be the number going forward, we have already achieved in 9 months itself. So with the looking at the present situation and going forward, this government promotion of this renewable energy, we see that there will be good demand going forward also. And we should be completing this target much earlier than that is also need of the industry actually.
Okay. So by when you, I mean, the 500 gigawatt target by 2030, right? So do you expect that this target we can reach, since we have already reached around 270 gigawatt odd, so this target can be reached by 2028 or 29 itself?
Maybe it could be because that is kind of the demand is there because a lot of industries are there, a lot of people need green energy. So all these factors putting together, it can be possibility.
Okay. Understood. And how do you see I mean, what would be the current, I mean, whole India capacity in the solar space right now?
Sorry?
The solar industry capacity currently, what would that be? I mean, if you have any figure on that.
So solar, in terms of module, you are asking or in terms of installation, actually?
Installation capacity, I mean, overall.
So total overall solar.
Both module and capacity, I mean, installation.
So total installed capacity of the solar as of now is around 136 gigawatt, actually.
And per annum, what would be India's per annum as such?
Per annum is same only. Like what we did, 30 to 40 gigawatt should be the per annum.
Okay. Understood. Fair point. And in terms of execution, I mean, we have around 3 gigawatts of unexecuted order book, right? Anything on the execution front? I mean, this year and next year, what's our execution target out of this total 3 gigawatts order book?
Sorry to interrupt, Deepak. Please rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shrenik Mehta from Indo Alps Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please.
I wanted to ask about a little bit of a longer-term vision, say for next 2-3 years. You are changing your business model in a significant manner. You're bringing in IPP. You're bringing in many other lines of businesses where possibly the model will be different. It won't be the same asset-light model. So how do you see the business evolving over the next 2-3 years? Which business will take up what kind of share? A little bit of color on this will be really helpful.
So out of the entire revenue, if you see that my revenue is majority was coming, is maybe more than 95% is coming out of the EPC. And we have another two interesting revenue stream, that is O&M, whatever projects we have completed, we are doing O&M also, and IPP, this power is produced at our own generation solar. So this will continue actually. Going forward also, we will be more in the EPC, maybe this solar EPC plus BESS EPC. And whatever the cash we conserve, there we are adding as the IPP. So this will give a continuous revenue stream for this company.
Okay, so whatever cash you're generating, you will pour it into the IPP project so that you can have a longer term revenue stream coming out of it.
Yes.
So it will still be a small proportion of your business even 2-3 years down the line.
Maybe business will expand like you have seen from the past few years that our top line has grown very significantly. We have already achieved 1597 was my revenue for March 2025. We already reached 2,200 crores. So this base will continue. And over and above what I mentioned is that like IPP and O&M business, that will also going to grow going forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Sehgal from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to know about the pace of tendering activities in the solar EPC space. There has been talk that there is a lack of transmission capacity, so the tendering activity may go down. I mean, how do you see the pipeline and how do you see things moving ahead?
So, with the current order book unexecuted, we have a pipeline of order pipeline of around 29 gigawatts. And the tendering also is, at any point of time, the tender business is around 5 to 6 gigawatt live tenders are coming up, is going on. Apart from that, this domestic, there is a re-inquiry or order pipeline from the international space as well.
Okay, so as such, you don't see any slowdown happening. And about BESS, sir, about the BESS space, sir, what is our target and like what is the kind of tenders happening, you know, what is the quantum and what would be the government's target for installation for the coming year?
So BESS also is one of the requirement to have a continuous power in the peak time, that is night. And to support the grid stability also, this is one of the requirements. So we are getting lot of inquiries for 1 hour or 2 hour BESS supply along with the solar. So this, I think this will be a needed requirement going forward to install, have the BESS also along with the solar.
And we see, sir, a lot of, on the BESS and both on the solar EPC side, that the rates keep going down with each and every tender. Are you facing any such compression in margins or, is that in line with the fall in cell prices or the other raw materials?
No, this cost optimization or all this will continue because of the competition. It will keep on continuing, the regular phenomenon. So, but as of now, we are not seeing. Once it is awarded by, this order is awarded to somebody, then the EPC work will come into the picture. So once it is firmed as an order, we will get the EPC work. So we don't see any kind of pressure on this.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarang Joglekar from Vimana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So on the competitive intensity, the current pipeline that you have, first of all, can you give a split of how much is from the government versus private? And secondly, because I've been hearing from the competitors that the margin, there have been a lot of new players coming in the participating in the tenders. So does that threaten your margin, maintaining the margins in future?
No, see, as far as my current order book is concerned, we have around in megawatt term, it is around less than 10% of the total order book. In the value, it could be around 20-22%. But this is one question you have asked. And as long as the new player is entering, so there will be always competition in the industry. So because of our execution capability, timely delivering of the project, this will be edge on us to get orders, actually.
Got it. And this split between government versus private in your pipeline, can you give that?
Yeah, it is around in capacity-wise less than 10%. The value term it is could be around 20-22%.
Understood. Got it. On the module prices, just wanted to understand because I think your good portion of your order book is including module supply, right? So how are the module prices trending both on the DCR as well as non-DCR?
No, as far as this our order book is concerned, actually, whenever we are getting any kind of order with the turnkey where module is also in our scope, based on the prevailing price, we calculate our cost, etc. And once the order is formed, we just place the order so that there should not be any effect of any price variation upward, etc., to on our financials. So that is what we are doing, actually.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
What did you say?
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. A couple of questions. So one is that you have been telling that when you get the place orders, so you are booking the materials with the Chinese vendors, probably. So just to understand, because here the order execution takes nearly about close to 18 months to 24 months, whereas when you order the materials from the Chinese vendors, you could be factoring the prevailing prices plus some margin you could be accounting for. So in case the prices keeps on rising over the period of course of, let's say, 18 months is too big. So, but I hope that the Chinese vendor would not be able to give you assurance beyond 6 months or so. So then how are you just accounting the price variation clause in the tenders? Because there is, I understood from certain clients that certain competitors that there is no price variation clause in the base orders. So that is number one question.
So just to clarify that our most of the our is almost all the supplies are domestic only. We are not procuring anything directly from the China, what you have said.
And base cell is not manufacturing India, so obviously you would be requiring BS. I'm saying lithium ion cells.
No, actually this is not in our scope. Actually, whenever we are doing the EPC work of the solar power projects, so either the module is procured through us or module is supplied by the respective customer for us to execute the project. So there is no sale kind of effect in our balance sheet.
So you won't own any risk of rise in the prices because on the material front?
No, that is not in our part. Actually, most of the components which are required for generation, maybe transformer, cable, etc., they are domestically available. Apart from that, there is a module which could be procured by the customer directly, or if it is through us, then what I said previously, that stands.
Okay. And secondly, hitherto you are, I mean, the industry was actually, we were seeing that no major orders were pure solar without any base. Now base pairing is the norm. Base pairing with 1 to 2 hours storage facilities is a norm to avoid the curtailments and all. And so then what will be your course of action? Because What I understand is that because of the recent Chinese actions of rolling out their export subsidies on the solar cells, sorry, on the BSSL, lithium ion cells, the prices of cells are rising. Then obviously it would put some pressure on the module side, because ultimately as a package, module plus base, you will have to offer. So what would be the cost going forward? I mean, the tangent, you know, the progression of the cost with the non-DCR scenario and with DCR scenario.
That's all right. But as far as we as a EPC player is concerned, we is good that we get some this compulsory 1 hour, 2 hour batteries is should be there. So we also get the EPC work out of that. As far as this all procurements are concerned, either it's a scope of the customer and or it can be through us. If it is through us, then we'll do our this own calculation, convey with our profit margin to the customers. So that is how we operate.
Okay. And so going forward with the 500 gigawatt of progression, what is that, 2030-32, it is the government has said. So your component of government is very less. You said around 20%, if I heard right. So going forward, how much will be the utility solar from the government side or semi-government side, like, you know, NTPC or NLC, who have lined off, and what will be the private portion you are envisaging?
So if you say the government portion also, there are around 5 to 6 gigawatt continuous live projects are there. So if the tenders which suits our profitability or costing, then only we participate. Otherwise, we'll leave that particular thing. So this will keep on happening, whether the tenders with the base or without base, this will be the, we will going to participate and win if suits our profit and loss.
Because, you know, your competitors who are majorly participating in government tenders or let's say PSU tenders, their margin is nearly 500 to 600 dips lower. Just last question. The last question.
So as I said, that we only participate when it suits our risk reward matrix. If the tender is not suitable as per our guidelines, then we don't participate in that, sir.
So your threshold margin will be 15% or so minimum.
We'll try to maintain. That is what we are saying, that we'll try to maintain this kind of margin.
Okay, I'll come later.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utsav Adani from Oakland. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, of the 29 gigawatt pipeline that you mentioned, can you help us understand the mix between vanilla solar projects and complex projects? And in case of complex projects, will you be executing wind projects as well, or that will be outsourced to a third party?
No, as of now, we don't have any kind of wind projects that is to be executed. And we have we are pure EPC projects is also there, then pure this turnkey contracts are there where module is on scope. Both type of orders are there as of now.
Sir, that's part of the current order book. I'm asking for the pipeline. The 29 gigawatt pipeline that you mentioned?
Pipeline has it includes base supplies also, base this module supply also. Various type of inquiries are there actually, depend. So from the private sector, both type of inquiries, there's from government also. They are compulsory adding base as well. So it's a mix actually.
Right. And sir, sometime back we had created a subsidiary to execute small projects, that is sub 100 kilowatt projects for rooftop, for households as well as small MSME customers. And also on the data center side of the business, do we have any key updates on these businesses?
The small rooftop size project, we have not added any kind of subsidiary. And as far as data center is also concerned, we are getting inquiry about the data center EPC work. But as and when something gets finalized, definitely we'll announce through exchange and you will get to know, sir.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Namreel Shah from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is with respect to the newer foray into the IPP business. We've announced 120 megawatt of IPP projects. Just wanted some more economic details on it as to what capex do we think that would go into installation of this IPP project, what would be the budgeted IRRs, what are the budgeted IRRs if we have the PPA in place, and are we well funded outside of the unencumbered cash balances to fund this IPP project? That is my first question.
So we have just recently said that 120 megawatt of this project, so that will add in this next financial year. Roughly, you know that this all projects are in ranges between 3.5 crore per megawatt based on the where the project is, etc. So, and as far as this fine details with respect to the all fine detail which you asked, definitely we cannot share immediately, instantly over the call. But whatever the is suiting our requirement and with the available cash flow, if required, we need to raise some loan, etc. That we'll see. All kind of financing we'll see going forward and update you, sir.
Sure, okay. And the second question is with respect to the working capital. Currently, if you could just briefly explain what is the working capital cycle we had. I think Q2 was 600 crores of receivables. Where do we stand on that front? Just so that we could understand the working capital cycle bit.
So working capital also, just to tell you that as of now, we have not availed any kind of fund-based working capital from the banks. So that gives you some sense on this. And we are operating with the non-fund-based limit. So that is the, like, we are not using any kind of fund-based limit. That will give you sense the operating cycle of this company. So mostly our receivables are in line with our expectations. We are getting money from our receivables also. And maybe using this credit period, etc., we are operating this company.
Sure. Just one last question.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah. Please rejoin the queue for more questions.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Jurani from Code Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So basically, I wanted to know something. Sir, could you comment on the order, say the order or the award velocity, like the time from the L1 to the NTP, like in the last one quarter, and like, is there any slowdown driven by the module price expectations or any policy change or like on ground readiness?
No, we have not really sensed this or faced this slowdown. We have not really faced this kind of situation. We have not sensed this kind of slowdown, etc. But typically, it takes time from when we start discussion to the like NTP stage. So it takes definitely 4 to 6 months, 6 months to get at this stage.
Okay. And also, I wanted to know one more thing. So within the order book currently, what is the proportion, say, of module included turnkey EPC versus any, say, BOS only or a service only scope? And like, if there is a module that is included, like you said, they are either procured by the customer or they give it directly. So like, what is the share if it is like priced or contracted, like if you could give me something of that sort?
So this my order book includes this module also. So majority of the order is pure EPC, if I would say in that sense. So majority of order is pure EPC, but there are certain orders which includes modules also. So both type of order is there in my order.
Understood. So like, any idea if I could say how much percentage of orders?
Yash, please rejoin the queue for more questions.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Sir, I just have two questions. One, I just want to understand the revenue split for the 9 months between EPC, IPP and O&M.
Okay. So the revenue is if you see the my total 9 months is 2,229, majority of is coming from the EPC. Maybe in percentage term, if you say around 97 to 98% is coming out of this these two in this EPC.
So 97% of your revenue comes from EPC, and the remaining 3% comes from O&M and IPP. My understanding is
IPP and O&M, 2 to 3% is coming from that.
Sure. I just want to understand, if that's the case, usually EPC margins are around 10%, if my understanding is right. So how are we able to do around 19% margin in the despite the majority of the revenue is from EPC? Because my understanding is 10% is the margin for EPC of solar projects. And 20% or 20%, more than 20% margin you get from O&M of this project. So that's, I just want to understand how are we able to do like 2x the normal industry average margins.
So margin, majority of the margin is coming from the EPC segment only. That is all because of like we are executing large scale project in different geography within the time completion time. Budgetary and monitoring control and financial discipline. These are the few key parameters actually on which we operate. And that is all we are actually able to capitalize all these areas and translate into margin improvements.
Understood. So there is nothing apart from that. There is no... It's just a follow-up.
Yeah, continue, please.
So apart from the this execution part of it, there is nothing, there is nothing else which makes the margin uptake so high, if I'm understanding this right.
So already purely from, it's coming from the EPC, and what I mentioned is small portion that is coming from the my IPP and O&M.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paras Kulkarni from Ignite Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just joined in a little bit late in the phone call. And I don't know whether this is addressed.
Sorry to interrupt, Paras. Can you please speak a little louder? We are unable to hear you.
Yeah, I'm audible now.
A little more?
No. Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, you are audible, but you are sounding very distant from the device. Can you please come closer to the device?
Yeah. Now, is it better?
No, still the same. Please join back the queue and make sure the volume is full. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naman Maheshwari from Brescon. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just quickly, good set of numbers as always, but wanted to understand more on the growth strategies, right, that you have put in place, right? In the renewables, you have said, in the storage, wanted to understand further that what is the demand pipeline looking like, across BESS and BSP, where we are, planning to expand. Secondly, what is the strategy in bidding for these areas, and what is our edge that remains in these areas? So just three short points.
Yeah, so along with my existing this EPC revenue, we are into the BESS, we are exploring all kind of BESS EPC opportunities, correct? So like as I mentioned earlier, there is a requirement to add BESS along with the existing solar power plant with 1 hour, 2 hour capacity, etc. So that will contribute to expand our operation into BESS EPC space as well. And with the existing order pipeline also, there is a lot of inquiry about the including BESS into the solar power projects.
Sorry, just a small follow-on. So does that 2.92 gigawatts of order book already includes certain BESS projects in it? And if yes, could you just highlight what percentage of the book would be PSS banks?
No, see, this 2.9 which I mentioned is only purely of EPC, and there is a small order which we are executing maybe for 45 megawatt hours. So that is also we are executing of BESS.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I'll join back the queue in case of any further query. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jigar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations to the team for the fantastic results and wishing you all the best to continue great execution. My question is that considering more and more projects are now moving towards fixed load dispatches instead of standalone solar or maybe wind, is our company at a disadvantage in getting the business growth because we do not have a significant foothold in either BESS or pumped storage or green hydrogen? Basically, we have not won any significant orders of the large orders which have been given in this hybrid renewable space.
So we are actively looking and discussing with our customer for the BESS EPC work. So just with the existing solar power project or maybe upcoming solar power project, the customers intended to install BESS project BESS also. So we are getting good amount of inquiry. So that maybe sooner or later it will convert into the firm order going forward.
But for solar EPC, I think we would have been amongst the leaders, but hybrid project, we are not among the top 2-3. So, like,
we have our execution capability and the right team is there to execute. So, that will also be there in next few quarters, maybe year.
Right. And just one small thing, a couple of years back, we announced a tie-up with 5B Maverick and any further development or any kind of market for that?
No, there is no significant development as of now on this.
Right. Thank you very much and for answering and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pawan Kumar from Shade Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, this question is regarding the IPP assets. Like you are already commissioned around 54 megawatt and looking forward to 27 megawatts. Can you give some sense of the timeline of commissioning that at what stage these are, which are to be commissioned?
So this some of them will get added during March, and some of them are planned for the next financial year.
And like the current orders we have or like it will be executed within 1 year, right?
Yeah, from 12 to 15
years. Okay, and sir, any sense of what sort of IR we are generating, maybe a base level IR which we are targeting on these?
Fine detail is not available with me as of now, but we are whatever this shooting our this revenue stream plus overall the company, we are executing only those projects.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anushka Vora from Vimana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So I have a couple of questions. One is your current order book of 2.9 gigawatt. What is the execution timeline? And the second question is the pipeline that you said of, you know, around 29 gigawatt, what would be your hit rate? Generally, what percent of these orders do you expect to win from that?
So, execution timeline for the existing 2.9 gigawatt is around 12 to 15 months actually. So, this will get executed in the next few quarters. And the pipeline which we are following is around 29 gigawatt. Definitely, we are in discussion with our customers and we'll try to gain some of them into a firm order in next few quarters.
Okay. And this 2.9 gigawatt order book that you have, how much of it is private versus PSU?
Yeah, in terms of megawatt size, around less than 10% government and value term is around 20-22%. So that is what it is as of now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paras Kulkarni from Ignite Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question regarding the realization on a per megawatt basis. So, as of third quarter, I guess the realization per megawatt has increased as compared to 2Q. So, what is the primary reason for that? And out of the unexecuted order book, do we see similar kind of a realization on a per megawatt basis?
Correct. So, for us, we in our order book, actually, we have pure EPC orders or maybe orders along with the module, that is turnkey order. So, that keep on adding our order book and that keep on changing over a period of time. And during the quarter, whenever we are coming for the result, certain orders get executed. So, this will remain as it is because some of them are turnkey orders, some of them the pure EPC order, and the combination is coming to you. So, it will keep on changing.
Okay. Secondly, is that the execution has gone down in the third quarter as compared to second quarter, whereas in second quarter we had guided that the execution rate would sort of increase on a future basis. So, how do you look at it? And lastly, where do we see our order book at the year end?
So, at the year end, it is difficult to give any right answer at this stage because we keep on getting the order. This also, next in 2-3 days also, we have announced certain orders. So, this order receive will keep on coming actually. We will keep on doing that and execution. Both will be a parallel activity.
Okay, so you won't be guiding any
Sorry to interrupt. Please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
Yeah, just one last one. This is a follow-up one. So you won't be guiding any kind of execution sustainable run rate for the coming quarters?
Execution
run rate. Like I said, in 3Q, we have had a lesser execution as compared to the second quarter. So any sustainable
execution? Yeah. So these are the projects are spread over various geography in various states. So the execution will keep on happening, and wherever there is order, there may be some progress in that particular order in that particular state, etc. So this will be a continuous feature. We'll be executing orders throughout the year.
Okay, understood.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead. Raman, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
I just have a follow-up. During the quarter, I have noticed two things. The execution of order book has slowed down when we compare it to Q2, and also the order inflow has slowed down. Is there a particular reason?
No. Actually, if you see that over a period of 9 months, we have got more or less the same amount of order which we have executed. So, it is not like that there is any kind of slowdown. There may be sometime you may get some more order, maybe some quarter you may get less order also. So, if you observe closely that whatever order book we had during the 9 months, whatever execution we had, that amount of order we already added in our order book.
And with respect to the bid pipeline, how much will you able to capitalize over the next, by the end of this financial year? I just want to understand the going forward the revenue visibility for the company.
Yeah, so from the various type of order pipeline is there, around 29, which includes government tender, private, mm-hmm. in all kind of order which we are following. So, it's difficult to give any kind of number that will be added in the next quarter or like this. Mm-hmm. Maybe we are hopeful that out of this entire pipeline, we should be getting good amount of order going forward as well to maintain our order book.
And also, with respect to the EP, the revenue split, going forward, can we expect the O&M and IPP share to increase further from current 3%? Or are you like...
See, these two segments, that is O&M and IPP, they have the fixed contract and fixed amount of this this project in both the case. If as my EPC turnover goes, this percentage will come down in any case, even though I will increase it further, but in the percentage term, if you see, it may come down also, because if my EPC revenue goes up and this significantly, then this will also grow at a certain pace. So that is difficult to calculate in this fashion.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurav Banik from Devas Consultants. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My voice is audible?
Yes.
So, sir, I just want to ask you one question regarding the EBITDA margins and net profit margins. So, both have contracted in this quarter as well. So, if you just put a light on it, so what do you expect for the next quarter that remains for the financial year? What to be that EBITDA margins and PAT margins?
So, if you see for the overall period of 9 months, it has improved by almost 300 basis points. So from 16.46%, now we are 19.48%. For the quarter, there is a slightly dip in this margin. But what we are saying that we'll try to maintain EBITDA margin in the range of around 15% going forward as well. So from this overall 9 month point of view, we have improved significantly in terms of in absolute number also, we have almost doubled from last 9 months. And in the profitability also, we have done 138.92% over the period of 9 months.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification, sir. So my another question is on the beef sector that you are foraying into. So how, for the next few years, that you look for this sector and how this will actually impact or affect in our revenue front? If you just put a guideline for next 2 to 3 years.
So this base is also, like I mentioned in various previous questions, that this is also going to grow because you need battery storage for your solar power projects. So we are getting a lot of inquiry for 1 hour, 2 hour base project along with the solar project. So in all terms, we are going to get this EPC opportunity also. Maybe there is an opportunity to have a turnkey order for base as well in our portfolio.
Okay. Thank you so much for my answers and wish you all the best for the next coming quarters and years as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Sharda from Mavira AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I just wanted to understand the rationale behind entering into this segment because since recent developments in North, due to the fog, the availability of the sun time has reduced, which could eventually, affect the revenues and margins. So, are we well protected and what is the scope of IPP Wari RTL?
The Wari RTL IPP business, as I mentioned, that it will keep on adding this power project based on the requirement and based on the financials of the company, so that we will keep on adding. So what was the earlier question you asked?
No, I just wanted to understand the rationale and the scope of the IPP segment. So I think you just answered that. So it does not affect the margins of the business because although it is not contributing too much to the business, but in the future, how is it planned for Wari RTL?
Though it is as far as the total top line is concerned, it may make contribution maybe relatively less in percentage term, but in absolute term, whatever I am adding to the IPP business. It is getting into more profitable and giving a revenue stream for the company for next 20-25 years. So this is kind of the things we are doing. Apart from that, there is O&M also. So whatever projects we are completing, we are doing the O&M. So that is also a continuous stream for this company.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Mehra for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today, and also thanks to all the participants for attending. If you have any queries, feel free to contact us. We are MUFG Intime Private Limited, Investor Relations Advisor for Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Waaree Renewable Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.